a bang banger.
Hello and welcome to Fang Bangers Podcast. We're chaotic, horny friends rewatching the chaotic, horny HBO series True Blood. I'm Elise.
I'm Melissa. And this week we're discussing Season 3, Episode 6, I Got a Right to Sing the Blues. This episode originally aired on July 25th, 2010. It was written by Alan Ball and directed by Michael Lehman.
We haven't had an Alan Ball written episode in a while, and now I'm like, you know what? He annoys me sometimes, but maybe that's why I enjoy this one so much.
Yeah, it's a good episode.
So we have our summary from Wiki. Spurned by Eric, Sookie fears the worst for Bill, whose fate now lies in Lorena's hands, fueled by a night of bloody passion. Tara executes a desperate plan to stave off Franklin's advances. In Bon Ton, Tommy finds it difficult to leave the family nest. Jessica puts Pam's teachings into practice. Jason's romance with Crystal hits a snag, as does Lafayette's with Jesus. After revealing his master plan to Eric, Russell visits Louisiana to put it into action. So, Melissa, do you want to tell us your first impressions of this episode?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. It really is starting to feel like we are in the middle of a TV season. And I feel like that happened really quickly. It was sort of like, okay, like, it's starting. We're doing it.
Yeah.
And now it's here. We're in the middle. We're in the middle of the action. So many things are happening. I enjoyed some of the more, like, silly ways that they're, like, getting these plots to weave together in this episode. Although I will say, like, it still does not feel like as cohesive as a plot as the first two seasons did. But as I'm talking about that, I'm sort of realizing that I think that that's probably because this season doesn't seem to have a big bad as much as obviously Bill got kidnapped and this plot's unfolding. But it's not exactly the same as, like, when Marianne was around.
Kind of orchestrating like, everything. We know Russell is not to be trusted, and for various reasons, but, like, we don't fully know. I mean, his plan is, like, I'm gonna be a Nazi, I guess, but, like, it's not as terrifying as Marianne was. If I'm being honest, I find Franklin to be more scary than Russell.
Franklin is,
but that might just be
one of the scariest like characters probably ever.
I know.
He is like, if you took it's like the worst, like most manipulative, like narcissistic, like 20 something and made him an immortal vampire, and it's like, it's not a thing that should happen. I have this note later in the episode, but since we're talking about it, like, I find those scenes really difficult to watch for a multitude of reasons. One, because, like, I obviously don't want Tara to be involved in this, and I don't necessarily find it to be necessary. But also, the problem with all of this is that I also like watching them because I feel like the performance is, like, incredible. I, like, believe that he is this person.
Yeah.
Completely, which is
Tasia
totally
and I
crazy.
Talked about this couple weeks ago, and we basically said the same thing. Like, I hate watching Tara be in this shitty situation, but Rutina and James Frayne are, like, so good in it.
And,
it's, like, really wonderful.
I mean, this is a great episode for Tara, but we'll get into all that later because this is supposed to be just first impressions.
I will say I really liked it too. A lot happened. I was really happy for Lafayette for a bit, and then I got sad. I did watch episodes 5 and 6, like, one right after another, which actually makes sense because they're so intertwined. Like, it's literally, like, the epitome of being left off where the previous one ended. But I also think it kind of blurred my line of, like, what happened in season 5 versus, sorry, episode 5 versus episode 6. There were a couple things. I found this episode to be rather gruesome. For the most part, it didn't bother me, except for when Tara had to, like, bite Franklin. Like, that really grossed me out, and I actually looked away from the screen for a little
bit. That's funny. I looked away from the screen during this episode as well, but at a different part.
That is funny. It's funny. It reminded me of like Gollum like eating the raw fish like in Lord of the Rings a little bit. And there are other gross things that happened in this episode as well, but like for some reason that's the one that like was too much for me. And I also kind of, for the first time, which is probably stupid of me, realized that Russell's house is clearly a plantation.
Yeah.
He puts Bill in the slaves' quarters. I didn't think about the fact that he's calling them that. Just like shows how old
I like fully believe that like he owned the plantation when it was operational.
Yes, and had slaves. Yeah. Like I feel like if someone moved into that, they would say that's the servants' quarters, not that's the slaves' quarters. Like you really believe he probably had slaves there. I don't hate, but like Dennis O'Hare is so charming and so good at being like, the fact that he, like, has all these Nazi opinions, but, like, is very gay is, like, very interesting to me. And also, like, completely plausible because just because you're gay doesn't mean you're not a shitty person.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and, like, we find out in this episode that, like, his main ideology is that he thinks that vampires are the master race.
And he used those words.
Oh yeah, so like, I would not say like that is.
I know.
But him and Eric chuckling about that was like a horrible vibe. I did not enjoy it, especially because I think Eric looks especially cute in this episode. So I was really not having a good time with a lot of his choices.
I think that Eric's putting some of it on. Oh,
100%. I definitely believe that
because. As soon as he saw that crown in episode, I think it was episode 5, he was like, oh, fuck these assholes. His whole, like, plan changed.
Yes. Yes. And it's just fun because you can't always tell with Eric. I mean, I think we have a better vantage point, but the characters, like, that he's interacting with.
Yes.
I think Russell believes him, and I think
Sookie believes him when he's not helping her.
That Eric is flirting with him, which he is, but I think Russell is like, this is real. Like, this is real.
Yeah, I'm gonna sleep with him. Well, I do think that I'm like burning what I was gonna say later, but I do like, I really thought I had forgotten what happened, but I really thought like Eric and Talbot were gonna bang last episode, and they didn't.
Talbot
but
is
I
in
feel
too
like
much of a mood
I
today.
I love Talbot.
I know
so
me
much.
Too.
He's so
you
moody.
Never take me anywhere.
You're not supposed to bring your work home. For what it's worth, the work kind of just showed up, but that's. I mean,
this can't,
Russell didn't
I mean, they've probably been they've been fighting about this for like 700 years or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah. So, do you want to get into the plot?
Yes, I would love to.
Yeah, I kind of separated it a little bit different this week because a lot of the characters interact with each other in Jackson, Mississippi, specific. So I kind of separated it into like Bontaunt, Jackson, and then New Orleans, because we have a scene in New Orleans later.
Yeah, when I did the notes for last episode.
Yes.
My first pass had them broken up, like, originally, like, Russell's house. Because people just start popping up there.
Oh, yeah. I actually, it was really funny when I first was writing the notes. I was like, Sookie and Alcide and Russell and Eric and Bill and Lorena. And then I was like, I will just title this Mississippi.
Yes. We got so little shorter. So little Alcide this episode. Ugh, it's okay.
I know.
We did have Eric's sweater.
So that's true. So back in Bontaunt, we have first Jessica and Arlene having a little scene in Merlot.
There's only one redhead hair Arlene... works here, Sam.
That was so funny. Like, Arlene is very resentful about Jessica, A, being a vampire, B, being too young to serve alcohol. Which, like, Tayshia and I got into because, like, I do believe that Jessica has not had her 18th birthday yet. But once she does, like, she better be allowed to serve. Because, like, we call Bill 250 years old.
Yeah.
So,
I think
eventually, Jessica will not be 17.
Yes, I agree.
And so Jessica's really mad about it, and I love this because Jessica glamors all of Arlene's customers into not tipping her. We kind of see her do it to the first one, but like you don't find out till the end that she basically did it to all of them.
I think it's a really funny reveal that, especially because it's like across episodes. Like it happens in she glamors the first guy in episode 5, and then you find out that it was episode all really of them. Does it's like the one day at work, which is so funny. Like Lafayette and Jesus are still anyway.
I like that, and I also realized that Jessica kind of felt guilty about it when she realized that Arlene was pregnant. I think she felt bad, a little bit,
and just her being like having her be pregnant, and also like realizing that like this is an adult woman with like real shit going on. Like I'm sure Jessica believes that her missing dead man and like Franklin showing up at her house and like having to be taken in by Sam because everyone she knows has just like dipped out. Obviously those are real issues, but that's not the same as raising children. Like, so I feel like once Arlene is like my kids are with Terry, like that he can't handle it. Like I didn't get any tips. Say Jessica's like, oh, I've been a brat. Like this was not my most grown up work. I shouldn't be serving alcohol.
And Jessica makes up for it because she like convinces that asshole lady to leave and also to leave Arlene a real big tip. Yes. And then she obviously feeds on her, which Arlene doesn't see, but she kind of knows something weird's going on.
Like, I really like that because I think it's, like, cute and fun for Jessica to be so clever. But the bar stocks True Blood. We know this. It is in the canon. So when Jessica's like, I haven't eaten today, I'm like, okay, personal problem. Like, whose fault?
Yeah, I do feel like I can't tell if she, like, forgot it was an option. I don't know.
I mean, obviously, we just wanted her to eat that lady in the bathroom. It's fine. And the lady's like, that lady best sucked. Waitress ever. Yeah, it was funny.
It was so funny. I also felt like, because, you know, Jessica's fangs come out in that one scene when Arlene's like, I cut my finger. And I don't know how you could be scared of a vampire who immediately, like, covers their fangs because they're, like, embarrassed about it. Like,
honestly,
Jessica's not gonna hurt you.
These scenes are funny, and they should exist for that reason. I think that's good enough.
Yeah,
but if Arlene was this scared, this serious about her fear of vampires, don't show one your bleeding finger cut. I mean, what?
Yeah, and I have to think that Arlene like did that without thinking.
100%. But if your life is ran by a fear of vampires, you're gonna be thinking about having them not see your finger cut.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's funny. I like it. And Jessica would never try to kill Arlene. It just does. It doesn't make sense for Arlene to think that, but it does. No. There's some comedy from there, so it's okay.
Jessica's come a long way since she was made, and she, like, she still has, like, a lot of vampire training that she needs to do, but she's, like, still herself in that she's, like, a bratty teenager, but she's a nice person.
She is a nice person. And, like, the bratty teenager stuff is really just a product of, like, how her parents treated her.
So, 'cause this is, like, her first freedom.
The further she gets away from that, like, she'll come into her own even more. And it's nice. I mean, I love for people to remove themselves from, like, oppressive religious situations.
Yes, we love that Jessica does not live with her parents anymore, even if she wasn't a vampire. Although, if that was the case, we would not know her.
Yeah, unless she was just, like, some normie girl who he dates.
Jason is continuing his date or his woods. I don't know if I'd really call it a date, but like he's in the woods with Crystal still because, so episode 5 kind of ended like early in the evening, I guess, or like mid evening. And she clearly wants to have sex with him, but like there's a reason that she should not, and she's not saying what it is. And so she's being, like, definitely a little bit suspect. And there's a scene where she's, like, on top of him. And then she, like, kind of sniffs something and then bolts. And I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah, I also find it interesting that they talk specifically about her body temperature. I just think that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like, we had a very similar conversation with Alcide recently with Sookie when she was like, I thought you had the flu. So we'll keep an eye on that. After everything that happened, I really cannot believe that Jason fucking shows up at her house with, like, she was clear, like, I mean, yes, she acted one way, but she literally was like, we shouldn't be doing this.
When will I see you again? Never. We can't see each other. Like,
yeah, you don't show up at someone's house then.
It physically pains me that Jason is like this.
I know.
Grow a brain cell.
I know. And she pretends not to know him, which I honestly think was for both her and Jason's safety. Because that guy looked, I mean, he had bruises all over his face, which was really shady. But, like, I felt like Crystal would get, like, injured by him. And Jason definitely would have gotten in a fight with him. And I don't know. That guy was bigger than Jason. And I don't know. I know Jason's strong, but, like, that guy has, like, they have that whole, like, crew up in Hotshot. So, like, yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, like, your Letterman jacket is great. I mean, how old are you? The flowers are a nice touch.
It's so fucking, like, weird for an adult to be wearing.
He's actually trying, and I understand that. But, like, she said it was a thing multiple times. She was, like, very adamant about it. And, like, honestly, I feel like you could sort of tell that she was scared, like, even when they were still kind of hooking up. Jason, you're such an idiot.
I feel bad for him, though, because it's very clear that he, like, I think he genuinely likes her, even though he knows nothing about her at all. But it's like he's just attracted to her. But he's acting in a way that's very different than how he's acting.
Yeah, it, like, sucks that he is, like, this is sort of what we were, like, trying to get out of him in the first place. But now it's like, actually, though, if they act like this, that you can't, like, I sort of feel like, on one hand, like, I'm, like, moving the goalposts on Jason, but, like, you have to.
I feel bad
for him. You have to do all the things. I'm sorry.
He's, like, I feel like, I don't use this lightly, and I'm definitely not, like, a doctor, but he just feels so manic right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he, like, forces Andy to, like, make him a police officer.
He does the fucking weirdo shit with that high school boy also.
And then he takes... Yes, and yeah, with the guy having... That was last episode, right?
No, it's this episode.
Oh.
It's after he, like, leaves Crystal, and he's still got his jacket on, and he...
Oh, shit, I forgot about that. And he's, like, fucking that girl in the car.
Yeah. For one, they're in high school. I don't want to see this. This ain't Euphoria.
No, that really bothered me, too. I'm like, I mean, I'm sure the actors are not, but, like, I'm like, I don't want to be, like, watching this, like, underage sex. Like,
I mean, it's different. Weird. Like, it's definitely different when you're watching, like, a Euphoria or, like, a Gossip Girl, because it's, like, the point of view is of high schoolers also. And so then I feel like I am a high schooler when I'm watching the show. But when I'm walking up to a truck or walking up to a vehicle as Jason Stackhouse, I'm like, don't be around this, you fucking weirdo.
Yeah, no main characters in the show are teenagers, and that's, like, good. And so why are we getting involved with teenagers?
And Jason is touching them. He, like, smacks the dude's ass and is like, get out of the car, I'm a cop. And it's like, you have now assaulted someone, if that's true.
So twice he's, like, pretended he's to be, like, a cop.
Stolen valor.
I forget what happens, like, if he actually has to take this, like, test.
I don't remember either.
I feel bad for, I mean, I don't really feel bad for cops, but I feel bad for Kenya and What's-His-Face having to, like, deal with Jason's nonsense.
They're literally just trying to get a paycheck, and, like, now Bon-Tom is like this.
I know. It's all Bud Dearborn's fault.
I quit.
That was so good. We also have... what I've been titling Sam and Fam.
Yep, great title. accurate to the point.
I continue to hate them. Sam knows that they're, like, lying to him about how, like, they are as a family. You know, we do find out that Melinda used to shift and do dog fights for money, but she can't do that anymore because I guess she's old. I don't know.
Her back is injured now.
Yeah, so now it's, like, up to Tommy, and I'm just like, I fucking hate this so much. Like, I don't care about these people, but also, like, I don't... dogfighting just is not a plot point that I ever want to be in anything that I watch.
Yeah, I dislike it for several reasons, the ones that you've mentioned. Also, like, I realize that we're dealing with, like, the Mickens.
Mm-hmm.
But Sam was like, you can stay at my house. You can be the handyman at my place. Like, Tommy's working at Merlot. So I really don't understand why the mom is now like, he's not going to take care of us. And it's like, he is doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I do think he kind of looks down on them. So I feel like she's a little intuitive there.
I think that, but like, yeah, sure. But trying. He still gave y'all jobs. And yeah. I don't know if he's like charging them rent or whatever. I mean, and
he probably isn't.
Which, like, you know, landlords are like bad, but you know, small towns still exist. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
we always take True Blood way too seriously.
I mean, why would we do a podcast if we weren't going to do that?
But it's just like, I don't know how I end up talking about how like landlording is a bad job when it's like.
I mean,
I was trying to give Sam points for it.
I know.
Anyway, I just feel like they're not giving Sam a fair shake. And it's like, no, I'm out here defending Sam. I mean, it's too much. The Mickens need to go.
I mean, I do like Sam more than I did. Like, season three is when I stop, like, being annoyed by Sookie and annoyed by Sam so much.
I really love this, like, big bro Sam stuff he's doing, too. Because when Tommy's like, I don't want to talk about that, Sam's like, that's fair enough. You can talk about it whenever you're ready, as long as it's sometime today.
That was so funny. Like, it's going to be by end of day today. I'm surprised he didn't I mean, like, they're not gonna show, like, it's not the kind of show that's like a text conversation, but if it was, he'd be like, tell me by EOD. I do like that Sam is looking out for Tommy also, and that he asks Andy for information on local dog fighting. Yeah. And Andy's like, well, but that just doesn't go on here, which A, I find hard to believe. And B, like,
Andy, at least you were in an orgy.
Yeah, like, what? Yes.
It all goes on around there. You should know that by now.
Yeah. So I don't look forward to potentially having to watch a dog fight next episode.
Yeah. Boo.
If that's something that happens. I just, like, really. I'm just glad they're not making me watch, I've said this already, too. I'm just glad that I don't have to watch Jolie, like, in his dirty underwear.
Yeah, it's again. Really gross. It's bad.
It's fucking disgusting. Please throw that underwear out. I hope he got new underwear.
I wouldn't trust that man to handyman, to be honest.
No! Like, do you what know are how his to do qualifications?
Things? Arlene's like, I'll get you the list. Like, I don't give a shit. Yeah, Sam, you're a slumlord.
That, like, made me think he is a slumlord. Like, all these projects, like, haven't been taken care of.
You can throw her engagement party and have an attitude about it, but you can't fucking snake a drain or whatever the fuck? Like,
I do kind of, like, wonder what kind of projects are on the list. It might just be, like, change a light bulb. Who knows? Like, Arlene, you could change your own light bulb. Well, maybe they're fancy, ugly fluorescent lights, and she can't.
Sam would have fluorescence in the fucking apartment.
Ugh, the worst. You know who's not the worst?
Who?
Lafayette.
I know, he's the best.
I love him. Up until the end where things got a little out of control, I'm, like, so here for this, like, forever long date
it's
with him
so
and Jesus. Like,
lovely.
I know. And Lafayette is, like, realizing that Jesus has more in common with him than he originally thought. I mean, I think he thought because he works in a restaurant and he, you know, obviously, like, Lafayette knows he sells drugs. And Jesus is a nurse. And so he was probably thinking, like, you know, we are completely different people. But they're both, like, raised by single moms. Their sexual chemistry is insane. Mm-hmm. My dad watches a show with that actor. I think it's Fire Country or something. He one of those. There's one show that my dad watches with him, and I'm always like, it's Jesus.
Wow. Yeah, he, like, waits for 9 hours to go on this date with Lafayette, which is, like, crazy. And then that
someone did that, and they were like, Jesus, like, I would fuck them, like, 15 minutes after my shift was over.
Lafayette's not even, like, sure about, like, kissing him, and it's
which I don't think is, like, a comment on Jesus. No. I think that's a comment on Lafayette is like, the sky's great. Yes. I don't want to fuck this
up. Oh, my God. And he says it again. He says, does the term Satan in a Sunday have mean anything to you? And I'm like, it means so much to me. Thank you, Lafayette Reynolds and family, for introducing this great saying to my life. I just enjoyed that coming back so much. Jesus is like, I'll help
he doesn't know if it's trustworthy.
Like, it's just, he's the best.
I know. When that bitchy customer wanted, like, yes. food, and he thought that, like... He was like, the kitchen's, like, been closed.
Yeah,
it's great.
I'm just, like, fully basking in this because nothing happens to these characters ever again. This is it. We're just living in this bubble.
They just, like, are together forever. And, they're still together.
End of podcast.
Unfortunately. Yeah, that's it. It was nice. Sorry, Tasia and Lazzy couldn't be here to finish it off. And then those fucking rednecks had to go and blow up Lafayette's spot by trashing his new car and starting a fight with them. And I did appreciate that Jesus was like into it at first, like trying to scare them off. But I think Jesus thought, we're just trying to scare these off. And Lafayette is like, no, we're beating the shit out of these guys. And I think it was really good that they did not continue to do that.
I think that Jesus... I'm, like, reading him a little bit more up for violence than you are, I think. Because I think that he was, like, gonna hit somebody with that bat for sure. And then Lafayette was gonna go too far, and then he stopped him. And I just,
he might have hurt someone, but he probably would have just, like...
Yeah, I think he was always gonna be like, the one to be, like,
yeah, we won, because Lafayette just, like, keeps going. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. But then he, you know, because they're there and they talk about how they know Lafayette, you know, Jesus finds out that Lafayette sells V and other drugs, and he just is not, he's like, that ruins people's lives, you know, I'm not here for this.
I mean, I think it's, I like that he said that because, like, it's true of drugs like this, but also it's just one of those situations where it's like, if you knew, like, why he was trying to move it, you know, you can't really argue with what Lafayette's doing.
And I hope that Lafayette gets to talk to him about it at some point.
At the same time where I'm like, this is not a comment on Lafayette's moral character to be dealing this V.
Right.
I get, you know, I have to also concede that it's fair for people to be like, for whatever the reason, I would not like to be around drug deals. So, you know.
No, like, I feel like I would very much maybe agree with Jesus.
Yes.
Like, I would very much not want to be involved with that, especially, like, if people are coming up to your house and trashing your car and starting fights with you.
I sort of am like, don't judge Lafayette and be a little attitude person.
No.
Like, I don't.
I completely agree, but I also feel, like, I like that Jesus is the kind of person that's like, no, I don't like this, I'm leaving. Like, that shows strong character to me also.
Yeah, I think that's, like good for Lafayette, for sure.
He can, like, sets his boundaries and stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So, I don't really think anything else really went down in Bon Temps besides those things.
I'm going to Jackson.
Meanwhile, in... Melissa's going to Jackson. Eric is not interested in helping Suki because ever since he has found out that Russell killed his family. I think that flashback was in the last episode.
Yeah.
And like all that matters to him now is like dealing with Russell. So like everything that Eric is doing with regard to Russell now is very like he's going along just to like get his time where he's gonna do all of this. But he does tell Russell about Sophie Ann and the V. So he, like, he does and says, like, you know, we pinned it on Bill.
He's gotta get that trust if he ever wants to be, like, close to him.
Exactly.
Which obviously means going against Sookie, and Sookie's having a very hard time accepting this. And she is furious and she's confused. And I honestly think that's fair because she has been getting so many mixed signals from Eric for so long. And like,
it's totally true.
It's just one of those fun things about being a viewer and not being a character, because like we understand all these things, and like we know that Sookie, that Eric had like a very romantic dream about, like daydream about Sookie, like quite recently. And so, you know, I'm sure that he,
well, it's funny because to do this in either, the book, but he has to. In the book, he like literally does show up at her window at Elsie's house. And it's just really funny that they made a dream in the show. I also think, what was I going to say? Oh, I'll talk about this in the book in the spoiler section, but like this all happens very differently in the book, because Eric is heavily involved with like helping Sookie. In the book,
Eric does not do one mixed signal in the book.
Oh no, like, Eric is like, let's fuck. I don't care why. It'll be great.
To a nearly problematic degree, honestly, but it's fine. I love Sookie saying, "You big phony, big hat, no cattle." I'm like, "Yeah, Sookie, do more sayings."
Do more sayings. That's really funny. Say more things. I giggled at my own notes because I said Lorena has to kill Bill.
oh, before we move on from that Eric and Sookie stuff, I just wanted to mention also that Sookie gets to do an impression of Eric to Eric, which is also good.
Yes. I forget what she says.
Me too, though. I did not write it down, but I enjoyed it.
I really enjoy all of Sookie's impressions, but whenever she does Bill, I always think of you doing I always think of like you doing Bill, but I also think of like you doing Sookie talking to Bill.
Yes, well,
you do a lot of good impressions.
Well, my first favorite True Blood impression was of Sookie talking to Bill and going, "Yes, Bill."
But I did like, it was like earlier in the season or late last season, I don't remember which one, but she like impersonates him, it's talking really to her, funny. And it's just really funny.
My computer password in college was "Yes, Bill."
That's really ridiculous.
I have a ridiculous one now too, but I'm not obviously not going to tell anybody.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's password 1, 2, 3. Anyway, Lorena really does have to kill Bill.
In the slave quarters. Yes. So she gets her torture devices out, which is brutal as fuck. It looks like surgery equipment. I mean, it probably is surgery equipment. And she's, like, cutting him open, kind of. Like, it looks like she's, like, trying to do an autopsy, but without the why bit. And I really enjoy how he's, like, talking to her during all of this. He's trying to throw her off. But I also think, like, he kind of means what he's saying. Like, he's like, "I wish I could have met you before you turned and were made dark," and wondering what she used to be like before. And he's also, like, saying, like, you, he's basically talking about himself, but he's like, "You took all of these men and, like, you like, you only were interested in the honorable ones, and then you could, like, so you could ruin them." But he's talking about himself because she turned him because he didn't, like, take advantage of her. And there's a little bit of comment back and forth about, I guess, like, her maker, who, I forget their
name. I did not catch the name, but they seem like a bad person.
But, like, it's very much, like, it's very clear that Lorena learned a lot from this guy, and he kind of reminded me of, like, not to the same extent, but, like, the guy vampire in the movie Bit.
Oh, okay,
like,
yeah.
Like, how... Mm-hmm. Like, he was, like, so shitty, and they all had to, like, take care of that, I guess.
Yeah.
Well... Like, I don't think it was exactly the same, but it, like, really, like, he just, like, is not someone that should be, like, left to his own devices.
Yeah, and so Bill basically, Bill believes that Lorena, like, was someone completely different before she was made vampire, and that her maker, like, corrupted her the way that, like, she did to Bill for, like, a moment, and then, you know, obviously Bill, you know, has his humanity back or whatever. That's Vampire Diaries lingo, but it's fine. But Bill is just out here trying to like stop generational curses in his vampire family, and she just will not allow this to happen. It's obviously horrifying, but like when she is sitting there sobbing hysterically with like her blood tears, she just looks like so pathetic, but in like a really impressive way where I'm like, this is a great performance.
It is a really good performance, but it also,
she's like licking her knives.
It's just so tired. It's really tired to me. Yeah. I'm just like, I honestly, like, I don't remember what happens, but like, I'm borderline ready to never see Lorena again. I find her really annoying. I just like the like obsessed with you woman trope is just really annoying.
I do think it's interesting that Russell said like Lorena will kill him if she knows what's good for her. It's almost like, yes, this is a punishment for Bill, and it's also like something good for Lorena, because even though Lorena doesn't follow Russell completely, like I think that he, obviously Russell like a vampire Nazi and he's a bad person, but he does
a vampire
take
Nazi.
Care of people. I think that he genuinely like hopes Lorena does this because he wants to have her like well and in his control, obviously.
Yeah, because I feel like when Bill's alive, well, quote unquote alive, like Lorena cannot.
Yes. That's what
her motives and her sides cannot be like trusted. That's what you don't know where her allegiances are.
Yeah, because he says specifically,
always,
like,
there's always going to be a plot.
Bill is Lorena's like drug of choice, and in this episode where this is a lot about drugs, like we see the werewolves on B later, like stuff with Jesus. Yep. So, I think that just that line and like the way that this might be coming to an end, hopefully, sort of actually gives Lorena's like character a bit more depth. And but it's been episodes and episodes and episodes of tropes, so it, you know, there's no like saving it.
I completely agree. I did read Russell's comment similarly. Like he knows that Bill being alive is just not good for Lorena's psyche.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Debbie and Cooter show up here.
Is she wearing a bathing suit with like the lowest shorts I've ever seen?
Yes.
They love those low pants on this show. I mean, I guess it was that era.
Mid-2000s.
It's the worst. Yeah, I am like, please give me high-waisted everything.
100% forever.
Yeah.
This is like such a small and like honestly sort of unnecessary scene, except for to get like all these plots sort of like weaving together, and so I think that's really fun.
I enjoyed. I had forgotten because I watched this episode 2 days ago, and I couldn't rewatch it today because I had to go into my office, so I was like, when I was recapping the episode, I had forgotten that they showed them real quick.
It's like so quick, but
around the same time, Sookie is getting interrogated by Russell, which I found really interesting. He wants to know what she is. And I love that Sookie, while, you know, probably scared, is like, well, I have questions for you, too.
So Sookie. She's just so Sookie. She can't stop Sookie.
I love that. I'm like, I really like that because I'm just like, she's like the epitome of like, if you don't ask, you'll never get what you want.
Definitely.
And so I was a little proud of her. And so she's like, are you the king of all vampires? Which I found like really cute because like clearly she does not know like all the hierarchy, and like he's like, no, I am just the king of Mississippi. but apparently Franklin had found the secret file in Bill's house that he was keeping on Sookie and her family, and we learn that Sookie has known that her grandfather was also a telepath.
Yeah, I was really surprised to hear that she had another telepath in her family. I
knew that her grandfather was, but I had forgotten that she, like, just knew and, like, never got brought up.
Yeah, I think that is interesting. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter, but I'm like, this is a plot hole.
I mean, I think
it
matters.
A plot hole, but
I think it matters. Well, I do think eventually we get to learn more about that.
Oh, yeah. I just meant that it doesn't matter that she knew this whole time and didn't tell us.
Yeah. I think that she told us, like, personally. I do think it's interesting, and it to me, it leads me to believe, like, that there's more going on with, like, what Sookie is. Like, because it's hereditary.
And we find out, well, we already knew about them, but she tells Russell about, you know, her other powers, which is that one time she threw that chain at someone and it wrapped around their neck.
That's in the pilot.
Yeah. So that was.
Isn't that in the pilot episode?
Yes. So that's really fun. And I like that she was like that face grabber from Alien, which when I saw True Blood for the first time, actually any of the times I've seen the first season of True Blood ever until this most recent one, I wouldn't have seen.
We watched Alien together.
I know, but.
Didn't we watch it together?
Yeah. I've seen it a couple times now, but it's like, I hadn't ever seen that movie
I've only
until
watched
like,
it once.
I don't know, 2021 or something.
Yeah, I think we watched it. There was a few of us. I don't remember who else watched it with us, but it was fun.
Yeah, I watched the whole series. I recommend. They're fun. I like them.
Oh, I've only watched the first one. I need to watch more.
Yeah.
Tara is doing the most in this episode.
She's got her wits about her.
She is so smart. Mm-hmm. She is like trying to. She can tell that Franklin, even though he's a little cray, actually thinks he cares about her. So he's like trying to coerce him into like slightly giving her more freedom. Like she's like playing into his like what he wants. So she's basically like trying to be extra romantic with him so that he like loosens up her like ties and everything. And I just think that is really awesome because she knows like the more that she acts that way, the more he'll trust her.
Yeah, so I was surprised to find out that Tara and Franklin are together in the book. Like, I had completely forgotten about that. And their relationship.
As soon as I read it, I had remembered, but I also completely forgot.
Yeah, and to our knowledge, as far as we are in the book, like, mid-chapter 11, their relationship is not like this. So,
he's also Italian and maybe in his late 50s.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Yeah. I'm kind of glad that they didn't make us watch that. So she, like, I think this is all of her plan, that she wants to drink his blood to get stronger, to, like, be able to help herself leave. So she has to bite him. He's not going to do it for her, which, like, I feel like, if it was, like, I need your blood to survive or something, like, a vampire would, like, bite themselves and put it onto someone's mouth. But this was, like, this is when I had to, like, kind of look away.
I forgot to tell you that I looked away whenever Lorena cut her finger so she could put her blood in Bill's, like, chest wound that she made.
Oh,
I didn't like that. I had to look away from that. And then she was like, when you die, I'll be inside you.
That was a little gross too, but I watched that part, and I also watched the gross thing that I'm gonna describe shortly.
Okay, I'm ready.
In a little bit, but yeah, so I definitely was like remembering Gollum eating that raw fish, as I said earlier, but like more gross. And Franklin is planning to turn Tara into a vampire tomorrow, in the show, not tomorrow, like tomorrow. And he keeps calling her his vampire bride or whatever. And she finds out from Franklin that Sookie is there, which was really awesome because Sookie can read your thoughts. So she purposely is like speaking out
to
Sookie.
It was so
like,
smart. It was so
I know.
Smart.
She's like, I'm here. I will find you. We are going to escape here tomorrow morning.
Yes.
And then in the morning, she comes and finds Sookie after she bashes Franklin's fucking head in. That was so gross. But I'm glad they didn't, like, show it up close.
Yes.
Like,
thank God this show was pre-Game of Thrones.
Yes, I was exactly thinking of the scene in season 4 when our boyfriend Pedro Pascal's head gets crushed.
I've literally never once seen that. I close my eyes every single time.
I saw it the first. I might have seen it like the first or second time, and then I was like, no. But yeah, that was really gross, but it didn't bother me so much because he fucking deserved it.
Yeah, he did, but and he deserved more than that because I'm worried that he's not dead because he didn't turn into soup.
Yeah. Yeah, I had like, kind of put that in the spoilers because I wasn't sure like how obvious it was, but like
every vampire we've seen die has turned into soup.
Scoop.
So I'm
even our poor Eddie from season
especially
one.
Especially our poor Eddie. I'm worried about this because he's gonna be mad.
Yeah, he's gonna be real pissed. So those are not words. So that make an actual sentence. So our besties fight their way out of this plantation, and Sookie does not want to leave without Bill, of course, because she's Sookie, and that is how she is.
It's a real Sookie and Tara mess around.
Yeah, for sure. And I did like that, like, Tara's trying to leave, and she finds, like, a wolf on the grounds, and she, like, is immediately horrified, and then it's, like, turns out to be Alcide. Who's clearly just naked and talking to her, I guess.
Yeah, because you don't get clothes when you turn back in from a wolf.
I know.
But obviously he couldn't talk to her and as so a wolf, or she was going to probably try to kill him or something.
Yeah. On my way home from work today, I was just thinking about shifters and werewolves and, like, if they ever poop while they're in their shifter form.
I'm sure they do.
And, like, how... I know, but, like, you don't use toilet paper when you're an animal, so, like... Do they have to wash their butts, like, again? Like, afterwards? Like, I need to know.
So, I read... Well, that shouldn't be, like, an active thing, because I haven't read one of these books in, like, a long time. But there's this very long-running vampire series called Anita Blake, and it's written by Laurel K. Hamilton.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I've heard
yes,
of it.
Yes, of course. And there's shifters and were-creatures in that series, and when they shift, if they're not, like, an ultra-powerful, like, shifter, when they shift, there is, like, a goopy, sticky, viscous, like, residue all over their body and, like, anyone close to them because of the shift. It's, like, pretty gnarly.
Interesting. That sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
I love that Tara's just like, do you have a car? Like, how are we getting out of
here?
Oh,
you're a real human man? Let's get out.
Let's get a car.
I've truly seen it all now.
Sookie goes to find Bill and finds him in, like, tied up in, like, a Dexter-like scenario, yes, basically, without the plastic. They don't care about plastic, these vampires. And she tries to free him, but Lorena comes out and we have our cliffhanger. I absolutely loved this cliffhanger.
Yeah, this was good.
I want to know, like, what Lorena feels when she's done tasting, yes, Sookie. But before we get into that, because we do have a little bit of New Orleans to discuss as well, I wanted to point out, since Tasia and Lazi are two Buffy the Vampire Slayer fans are not here, Lorena, I didn't know this, so this is definitely me just getting this from, like, the True Blood Wiki. When Lorena says, without that sanctimonious little prick Godric to save you, I would just love to rip you open and wear your ribcage as a hat. And apparently this is a reference to Buffy the Vampire Slayer when Buffy threatens to rip out someone's ribcage and wear it as a hat if he didn't give her the information she needed. And I thought if either of those people were here today, they would have said that. So I had to throw that in for our friends.
I'm glad we could represent.
I really, really liked that cliffhanger. We can talk about it a little bit more when we get into the rank that cliffhanger. Unless you want to rank it now and then talk about New Orleans. I'm fine with
We can
whatever.
Just talk about New Orleans. There's, like, really not that much.
Okay. I was going to say, I found it really interesting because obviously Eric has his agenda, and which... is right now, like, get Pam out of the shit with the Magister and then, like, kill Russell. And Russell has, like, a different plan. And so instead of going to Shreveport, they go to New Orleans. And he is just... They have that conversation that you mentioned earlier about the Master Race in the car. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Russell's doing Nazi shit. And... Russell says some things about how that here, I don't know if you want to read your.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just am like, okay, so like we're having this conversation. Eric is trying to get on Russell's good side. He's like, you know, doing his full like Eric on him. And they have their chuckles about the master race, which I was like, oh, I do not like this. And then Russell's talking about humans and he's like, what other creature actively destroys their own habitat? And I was like, oh, that sucks. Point Russell. Like,
I know in that moment, I'm like, is Russell detected? I'm like, is Russell? I'm like, is Russell actually like Thanos? I was listening to Maintenance Phase today, which if anyone isn't familiar, Aubrey Gordon and Michael Hobbs kind of like debunk like health claims that are not true. And I don't remember what the joke was, but like they were making fun of someone or they were talking about someone that had a bad opinion and like everyone should know that person had a bad opinion because they were like, in another time, they were like, have you read Mein Kampf or whatever? Like, that person. So, Aubrey, throughout the episode, keeps, like, saying, like, jokingly, like, have you read Mein Kampf? Like, as if that's, like, a positive thing. And it's just so funny. And Michael's like, Aubrey, please do not get in the habit of saying that because people are not going to know that you're joking. Right? And she's like, I only said it on the podcast. He's like, you said it to me before we started recording. But yeah, that's like when he said the master race thing, that like is what made me think of it. That's what it made me think of because that was earlier today. But I'm like, okay, but Russell's like definitely not joking.
Yeah, no, he like wants because he's explaining to Eric like why he works with the werewolves. Like, I think they're trash. I think they're animals. Like, they're not shit to me. But I work with them because if all the supernaturals band together, we could conquer the humans and the vampires would be on top. Yeah, but you would starve, Russell.
That is true. I guess, like, that. I really enjoyed, and I don't mean I enjoyed this from, like, thinking that they're correct, but, like, the way he was talking about, like, how humans used to taste, how the air used to smell, it felt all very Make America Great Again nonsense to me, also. Yeah. Gotta bring us back to better times, you know, like when women weren't allowed to work and shit.
I bet they tasted great. When no black stress, people were no slaves, freaking like, jobs. Basically.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, people probably did taste better pre-industrial revolution, but
you could just go around conquering all of humanity, Russell. I did though have
what do you do when you're done though? Like, that sounds like boring after a while.
I did though have the thought that if they did conquer humans and just like kill them all off, the weres and the vampires could sustain each other because like the weres want the vampire blood because it makes them, and like the vampires can like live off the were blood. In any case, that shouldn't happen.
I'm pretty sure that this is just like the I've never seen these movies, but I imagine what that's like the movie The Purge or something.
I don't think there's anything supernatural in
there. No, but I just meant, like, chaos.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
It would be, like, chaos. I don't. Sorry. I just meant, like, you'd have, like, an hour of chaos, or however long the Purge lasts
for. Okay.
Like, you'd have, like, a night of chaos instead of, like, rule following.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
I didn't mean it from, like, a vampire specific.
I got you.
I should have said if the Purge was vampires. Eric and Russell show up at Sophie Ann's, which is, like, one of my favorite sets on this show. I just love Sophie Ann's house, and she's just, like, sitting there, like, doing her scratch-offs, which is, like, girl, that's not gonna help you with the IRS.
I know, she looks insane.
I know, I love her so much. So, we do also learn that Russell's been, like, occasionally proposing to Sophie Ann for a while, like, on and off, and she keeps, like, turning him down, because, like, obviously... and he wants more power, but he's like, okay, well, I'll take care of your financial problems and your issue with the Magister. And, like, he basically threatens her because he says he's gonna tell them about the V. Because Eric cannot betray her publicly, but Russell could say whatever the fuck he wants about her because they're equals. They're not, yes. I mean, they're not equals because, like, they're equal in rank. He obviously is much more powerful than her because of how old he is. And so she doesn't really have much of a choice.
No, and, like, honestly, it's, like, not a bad deal. When she's like, what are you going to give to me? He's like, in addition to never touching you, I will settle all of your debts. And, like, her debts are huge because, like, she has the IRS and he's like, they'll put you in prison. And she has the Vampire Council because she sold the V. So she has no choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She does something that makes... So, like, Eric has, like, renounced her or whatever and, like, has sworn his fealty mm-hmm. to Russell. And Sophia does something that, like, offends Russell or Eric perceives as having offended Russell. And he, like, tackles her to the ground and, like, chokes her and is, like, laughing at her when she hisses at him. And I just, like, am obsessed with Eric in this episode. I don't know how many times I can say it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm obsessed with Eric, like, yes. in general. But I really enjoyed that, too. And he's basically like, I only ever cowered from you because of yes. you being my queen. Like, he basically is like, I can
yeah,
kill you.
Was like,
I'm
we had a fun thing going,
so much older
but, like,
than
now
you.
I'm more powerful than you.
Yeah. I do appreciate that overall, Sophiane is just like, okay, but is Hadley okay?
Give me my girl.
Because Russell had, they had killed, like, a yes. lot of her guards, yes. and she's like, okay, but, like, is Hadley okay? And they're like, your human's fine. I just think it's funny that her human is Sookie's cousin.
I
like,
know.
That amuses me so much.
Eric is definitely continuing in this scene to, like, insinuate to Russell that, like, he's down to sleep with him.
Yeah. It's all an act, though, so I didn't think about it too much. But I do appreciate the, like, knowing that that is one of Russell's weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that I just, like, I think that the interactions between those two characters are very amusing. And mm-hmm. I always love when I know something that someone doesn't on the TV.
Yeah. Oh, I like that too. And I honestly think that if he needed to, Eric would totally go through with having sex with him.
I'm
Eric
pretty
would
sure
do a
Eric
lot
sleeps
to
with
avenge
someone
his family.
In Russell's house in the book. And he's
yeah,
like
and
not
that's
even
only to help
trying
Sookie
to
and
get
Bill.
To Russell.
That's like to help Sookie. That's like not even because of the same reason. So like I think Eric just also likes sex.
Eric is a hoe.
Which is great. Yeah. We love a
yeah,
hoe.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so now cliffhanger.
Rank that cliffhanger. I'm gonna open that spreadsheet up. Yeah, I really like this one. Do you have...
Like, are you thinking, like, top 10?
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, maybe...
What about, like, the maybe new number 8?
I think that's brilliant. Okay. So, currently, number 7 is episode 206. Daphne puts the bullhead on Mary Ann and Sam screams. And number 8 is Barry is also a telepath. So we're going to throw this in between there. And this is episode 306.
Yeah, I think that all of these in this, like, section that we just mentioned are ones that, like, make me want to watch the next episode immediately.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I, like, cannot wait. Like, I honestly, I mean, I might not do this, but, like, after we're done recording, I'm like, do I check if I'm recording the next episode? Because if not, I could watch it right now.
Right.
It's funny. Okay, I love that.
Yeah, perfect.
Wonderful.
Wow.
I don't think we really have any character
no new characters.
Intros today.
Okay. Crystal's fiance.
We can get into our... Yeah, I guess. I don't even remember what his
name was. I don't
think
he has one. I don't... It doesn't matter. So,
yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Do you want to get into... I love that Tayshia calls these our superlatives, which is the correct term, but I never call them that, and I'm going to just start adopting
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, here's mine. I think that it is, like, complete and utter chaos that Jason continues to pretend to be a cop, and he's always wearing
oh.
the most inappropriate outfit, like, no shirt, Letterman jacket, like,
yeah.
Why, sir?
Yeah. At least get a unicorn. At least get a unicorn. I meant to say, at least get a... at least get a uniform, Jason.
I mean, for real.
Maybe Jason
go
will
down
be
to the
unicorn
store.
Maybe Jason will be Crystal and her fiancé's unicorn. I completely agree with you on
yeah,
that one.
I just, that's, it's just
cosign. What about most, who's most, who or what is most horny?
Me for Eric in his stupid sweater. I just think he's so cute. It's so distracting. And also yeah. because I like you had your notes in here first and yours was a really good answer. And so I wanted to do something like more jokey for mine.
Yeah, that's fair. Mine was less jokey and it was Lafayette and Jesus. Like, I do think that it's horny. Yes. They definitely want each other. But also, like, there's something real going on yes. there. So it is a little it's bit more than just being
soul
horny.
Soul horny.
But it's, yeah. Oh, I love that. That's great.
Yeah, they're lovely. Their conversation in the car is just, like, too much. I love it.
Yeah, they really, like, opened up. And I think that it says a lot about Jesus that Lafayette felt comfortable doing that. Like, because he does not talk to just anyone about his life.
I know. I really hope that this can resolve fast enough that Lafayette isn't going to be like, well, he left when he found out I was a drug dealer. I was right the whole time. I should not share with people, yeah. you know?
Yeah. I hope so as well. So this is about the time in the episode where we will talk spoilers and some stuff that happens in the book. So if you have not watched before or are spoiler adverse, we will see you next time.
Bye.
But if you are like, yeah, give me those spoilers, stay with us. I'm going to first say that Franklin is definitely not dead.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I honestly don't think that's a spoiler. Like, I don't necessarily remember that from the book. But, yeah. Like, he didn't turn into soup.
I had forgotten. I didn't think about the soup thing, but like, I like confirmed by reading ahead because I, or like reading a plot ahead because okay, I was okay. like, I definitely remember that he's not
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, okay.
The book meanders a lot away from what's happening in this story on screen, and I think it's because there's not that much happening in the book.
No, we're just,
and
like,
so they add a lot
Sookie
of stuff.
She just like bums around Jackson and continues to go to like wear parties.
Yeah, someone like bothered her at the bar, which is not called
it's called Lupines.
Well, not like it's not Lupines, it's
oh,
like called like Club Dead or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, I thought that it
in
was
the book,
called
sorry.
Lupines in the book. Okay.
No, it's called Club Dead. But they also go to Josephine's, which is, like, more for dinner.
Oh,
so there's, like, two places they go
with
Jackson.
Club Dead was a nickname for, like, so...
I think, well, Club Dead...
What is the
so
where
Club Dead's
bar
interesting.
Called?
There is no where bar
oh.
in the book. It's called Club Dead, and it's owned by a vampire, and only really, like, soups go there. And if you're human, you have
okay.
to be accompanied. But you
okay.
can't tell anyone where it is because... There, it's spellbound, so if Sookie tried to explain to someone, like, where the bar is, she would, like, physically be unable to. So she actually said, she was like, I'm curious to try that later.
This is where we find out that I don't pay attention when I read these books. How embarrassing.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal. But it's funny because someone bothers them, like, at the bar, and then, like, that person is showed up dead in Elsie's house, and they have to, like, dispose of a dead body, which is, like, a chapter or so. And then Book Eric says that vampires who mate with each other are kind of looked down upon, which I thought was so bizarre and, like, would make Lorena and Bill – it makes Lorena and Bill, like, kind of gross.
I think that it's, like, kind of weird, too. Especially because it's like vampires would be really fucked up if they didn't have long-term companionship.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like imagine, and like Talbot
is sort of something
like Talbot, is that an exception?
Yeah.
I get
which
confused.
Is sort of something that Talbot is a human in the book, I think.
Oh, he's still yeah. human. Okay. I think I missed that.
Yeah, and they sort of act like if it in the show in the first season, it's like, oh, if like a nest of vampires, you know, makes their life together, they will turn like feral basically because it's like all they have is
yeah.
their influence. So this
which
is
like basically what Russell wants.
Yeah, this is just all like a weird like vampire relations stew between like the different stuff that goes on in the
yeah
in the show and what's going on in the book.
That is-
but I do wonder if like some of this Lorena Bill, like the way that she's like obsessed with him, like if that, I don't really remember if she's like that in the book, but
yeah,
if she,
I don't really, she kind of like just shows up when I stopped reading
yeah.
today, so I don't really
if
remember
if she is. Maybe that's like the reason probably why the vampires aren't supposed to mate with each other, because it turns them weird. But if you take that out of the show, you just get like an obsessed woman trope, which is interesting.
Yeah, and I also think that having the obsessed woman trope sucks, but is still better than vampires not sleeping together.
Yeah, what's the point of in the what show? Would be the point? Like, I just
And I said this earlier, but like Eric helps Sookie a lot in the book. She gets stabbed the second time that they go out, and he brings her back. And like, so basically the setup is that they are going to hang out with Russell and Talbot, and Franklin and Tara are just there. And so something happens, and Sookie gets stabbed. Yes, she is, which makes Elsie jealous. Elsie has an attitude. And Eric is like, this is great. This is the best thing I ever saw. It just makes Eric want to, like, fuck her more. And so Russell is like, well, come back to mine and we'll, like, get you healed up or whatever. Because she gets, like, oh, it's Steve Newlin is, like, in the bar with a stake trying to, like, kill the vampires. But Sookie is the one that ends up getting staked. And they have this, like, vampire who, like, has special coagulation chemicals or something. So, like, they're able to, like, take this out. And this special guy can heal her. But, like, only to a point. Because, like, a vampire can't give you all of their blood. Like, they would die or they would be really weak. So, eventually, when Eric and Sookie are alone while she's recuperating, he gives her more blood because he's like, you're going to have to escape and you need to be strong. It's kind of like what Tara did in the episode to, like, make herself stronger. Like, they basically do that with Sookie in the book. But Eric leaves with this guy. I forget what his name was. I kept calling him Curly Hair Guy, but, like, he leaves and, like, goes and gets a car for Sookie and, like, parks it. And it works out because they want Sookie to leave in the morning because they do not want a human just, like, roaming their property. So Eric's like, take the blanket off your bed, smuggle Bill into this car in the middle of the day when everyone's sleeping, like, put him in the trunk, but because they want you to leave, like, they'll let you drive out. And it sounds like a really good plan, but similar to what happens in the show, you know, Lorena interrupts the rescue.
Eric takes, I think in the book, his, like, he feels responsible for Bill, like, as his sheriff, I think, more than in the TV show.
Yeah, Bill's not really involved with, like, Russell and, like, Sophie Ann and, like, all of those politics. Like, that's not really brought up.
Yeah.
But another thing that is brought up is while Sookie is recovering, Eric is, like, laying in bed next to her, and he's, like, kissing her, and he sticks his hand down her underwear.
And she kisses him back, and they get interrupted by Bubba, who I desperately wish was in this show. I, like, completely forgot that he showed up in multiple of these books.
Yeah, me too. She kisses two. She also kissed Alcide in the book.
And then her and Alcide in the book have a... Well, her and Bill are, like, on the outs.
Yeah, no, I'm joking.
Oh, yeah, no, slut was positive. I know, but it's just, like, we know Sophie's a prude, so this is, like, in her mind.
Yeah.
But
she still feels guilty about all of this, because she's still, like, trying to rescue Bill.
She's like, adults don't have sex just because the people are skilled and pretty, and it's like that is literally the, like, only good thing about being an adult is that you can do that just for those reasons.
The funny part is I was telling at dinner tonight, I was, like, telling my parents about how Sookie said that, and I was like, what an idiot.
What a dummy.
Yeah. She's stupid.
Yeah,
she's so prude.
She is, and she's like a hypocritical little, like, biatch too, because she's always, like, talking shit about fang bangers, and it's like, I really don't think you should even, like, say that in that context. Like, it just seems like it's mean. Like,
I really don't think so either. Like, TV show Sookie would never, I don't think.
No, it's like Sookie can go around kissing every freaking boy, and as long as she is mean to herself about it, it's fine. But when she considers other women doing it, she has a lot of judgment in her heart for that. Just let it all go, babe.
She has a lot of judgment of people in general. Yeah, that's true. But the only person that I agree with her on is Debbie.
Debbie sucks.
I love when she calls Debbie trashy. I like that actor that plays Debbie, though. She's really good. I'm trying to think if there was anything else in the book I wanted to call out. I don't really remember. I know that Lafayette and Jesus get to date for a while, which is lovely. So,
and I remember what happens it with Tara, but I do not remember.
Yeah,
when.
Yeah, so. I don't remember when that happens either. But I do still want to say that things don't end great for Lafayette and Jesus, even though they get to be happy for a little bit.
When the dead body is in Alcide's apartment, Sookie suspects that Eric did it.
Yes, that made no sense to me. I'm like, why would he do that?
Oh, it's very funny. Because there is no reason why he would, but Sookie still thinks that.
No, and he's like, what are you talking about?
In the first episode of Bob's Burgers, there's a line where somebody in the burger joint is like, it's a dead body. And so anytime I think about or read about or hear about a dead body, a little Bob's Burgers voice in my head says that.
I don't remember that line, but that's really funny.
I think that the first episode of Bob's Burgers is one of the best. I think it's one of the funniest, but there is a joke that I wish was cut, so it's tough.
Because
I think it's a little offensive.
Yeah. Borderline. That's fair. Bob's Burgers.
Beautiful show.
They did better in Future. Wonderful. So.
Yeah. It's I love it. It's not a joke that is. I don't know. I'm not going to be ranking the virtues of saying any offensive shit on the TV.
Do you watch Abbott Elementary at all? Did you watch this last episode? It just reminds me of I think one racist is plenty. it doesn't matter how bad it is.
But it's because it's in Bob's Burgers, a show that is so not like that ever.
Yeah.
It's even more jarring. But also it's a pilot and shows change after the pilot all the time. So, you know.
Yeah, you don't know how long you never know how long time was between that and when they got picked up and the media. And all that.
Anyway, now I'm just quoting TV shows. So we can probably wrap up this episode. Okay.
Wait. You didn't quote New Girl though.
I wonder if I
You don't have
even
to. I didn't
mean
to put
one.
You on the spot.
Well, I did some other TV, so that's okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm just teasing.
Oh, I mean, I said it was a Jessica and... Or I said it was a Tara and Sookie mess around, which is a New Girl reference to me.
Okay.
So.
Apologies.
No, you're good. I didn't say. I didn't announce it. I just let it ride.
That's fair. Next time you better, give yourself, a bibliography afterwards.
Season 3, episode 6.
So, Melissa, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
I am on Blue Sky and Letterboxd at Mellow Yellow and Instagram at Mellow Yellow XX. And I do another podcast called Wild Pretty Things that can be found on Patreon.
Awesome. You can find me on Blue Sky, Letterboxd, and Storygraph at Chicken Tendi. That's TENDI. You can find my other podcast, Pod Rates, a Deep Space Nine rewatch podcast, on Blue Sky and Instagram at Pod Rates. That's PODWRAITHS. And wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you to DJ Empirical for our awesome theme song. You could find the podcast on Instagram at Blue Sky at Fang Bangers Pod. And email us your chaotic, horny thoughts on True Blood, please, to fangbangerspod@gmail.com. And I'm Elise, and my blood type is how humans used to smell and taste. Just kidding. I drink way too much Diet Coke for that.
And I'm Melissa, and my blood type is a very weak character deep down.
Bye.